The Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change, invites us to expand our lives by changing the lens we see through. Is something different calling you? Do you ever ask yourself, is this all there is? Or have you forgotten why you're even here? Trish and Diane create insightful and empowering conversations about connecting the self, soul, nature, and community. Navigating life by choice rather than circumstance is how we make the shift to expand our humanity. The shift starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Shift. We are on episode 12. So happy to have you with us today. We are with the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group as part of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And I'm Trish Campbell, your co-host, along with my good friend, Diane McClay. And we're here to bring you a special episode today. We have a one-hour episode, and we have something very new and exciting to bring to you today. And we'll get to that in a moment. We also have a special guest. And I'm so excited to be talking about what we're going to talk about today. So first, as we always do, I want to open up our show by honoring the land on which we all settle and honoring the original inhabitants of that land. For myself, that is the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, the Haudenosaunee, the Huron-Wendat, and the Ojibwe Chippewa. And whether named or unnamed on all the lands on which we settle, we honor them, we give them gratitude for their stewardship over millennia and their connection to Mother Earth that they've modeled and the wisdoms that they've shared and all of that that has helped us have this foundation to come to you today. And so we always open by acknowledging that. And one of the things we do on The Shift is help our listeners, but also ourselves, open our minds to expand beyond what we've traditionally accepted in our lives as far as our evolution, as far as our healing, and to look beyond for new ways to do that. And we're going to be talking about that today, new ways to heal. And I'm so excited. We have a special guest. His name is Tom Palladino. He is a scalar energy researcher with over 25 years of experience in developing healing techniques, helping people all over the world recover from pathogenic infection, and really providing a foundation for health and wellness for people all over the world. He's the inventor of Scalar Light, which is harnessing the energy for healing on a quantum level, and we'll get into all of that. We are going to be taking you on this journey in real time with Diane and myself learning about this, and we can't wait to see how this is going to unfold. So, Tom, thank you for being here. Thank you for spending the time with us. And Diane, I'll let you kick it off and go with it.
Well, just thanks to everybody. And before we started the show, one, I was listening to Karen Timer's show, 50 and Free. And the thing that stuck out at me from that show is you guys were talking about breaking old patterns. You were talking about freedom. You were talking about one of your quotes is it's just that it's about allowing yourself to not be connected to the outcome. And I really thought that was a good transfer into what we're talking about today, because when we approach new concepts and we don't have knowledge about it, and when we don't understand it, and when it sounds like it's too good to be true, humans have a tendency to disavow it, to break it down, to try to find the negative in it. And I want to start off by just saying, let's not be the traditional form of the word skeptic, which means prove it to me, show me the evidence, prove it to me. Let's come into this conversation with an open mind, with open heart, open soul, open questions, and let's not be attached to the outcome and see where we go.
I love it.
All right. Tom, start us off a little bit. One of the first questions I have is, we're going to get into the later part of the show about what Scalar Light is, but can you give our listeners just a brief, how did you get here? Because to me, it doesn't seem like Scalar Light is something that people teach in school. Nobody gets a master's degree in it. So can you tell us, like, briefly, in a couple of minutes, what was your journey that, and I know you did some undergrad work and you were fascinated by other scientists, so what was your journey that led you to this place? And what is maybe one of the most influential things that made you know that you were on the path to your purpose?
Well, ladies, first of all, thank you for the invitation. Appreciate your time and effort. What was my trajectory? How did I get where I am today? I've always been inquisitive. I've always had the mind of an inventor, discoverer. I've always wanted to be a trailblazer. I've always wanted to be a leader, not necessarily a follower. And with that type of ideation, I've always approached my research. How did this start? When I was a youngster, I was reading about the great scientist Nikola Tesla, and I knew that Tesla, the brilliance of Tesla, and I don't think anybody's ever matched his brilliance. I knew he was onto something that was so out of the box, that was so groundbreaking. And then it came to me. He wasn't working with electricity anymore. He was working with a different type of energy. And I modeled my career after that. I said to myself, this is the superior technology. This is the technology of the future. And with that, it's private study. It's independent study. There's not a college classroom that speaks about scalar light research. I had to do it on my own, and I had to rely upon maybe 10 scientists, they're all deceased, 10 scientists that I could extract from what they were doing with scalar energy and then continue on in that vein. So I am a scalar energy researcher. I don't work with electricity. I work with a subtle essence, if you will. And I believe it's a career that's been, if you will, well suited to my temperament. And I am happy. I'm pleased where now the state of the art has advanced. Again, I think this offers mankind such incredible promise. This is the technology of the future. Scalar energy is going to change the world.
Mm. Go ahead, Trish.
I'll jump in real quick because I want to kind of back up a little bit. And maybe you can explain, because you mentioned, I think, electromagnetic energy and What is the difference between what you're working with, and maybe explain that for our listeners, between the energy we use every day and...
Sure. I believe all energy originates from the stars. If you look at the universe, you have to look at the stars and you have to say, that's the point of energy. That's the point of light. Mm-hmm. And I believe all energy starts as this divine massless energy, which is scalar light. And when it degrades, then it starts to incorporate electrons. It's the flow of electrons. But scalar energy is massless. It's perfect. It permeates the universe. It really is the subtle essence of the universe. And why is that so important? Because we're no longer bound to physical matter. Mm. With electricity, you're bound. The parameter is an electron and the movement of an electron. With scalar energy, there are no electrons, there is no mass, it's massless, hence it's a perfect information system as opposed to the slow movement, if you will, of electrons. What am I getting at? The speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, many people say that's incredibly fast, it is, but scalar energy already permeates the universe, allowing for instantaneous velocity. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay. I know Diane's probably has a question, but I do want to ask you this one thing. What you're describing sounds exactly like universal life force energy that I work with in Reiki.
It is. Yeah. It's okay. Consciousness. That's what I'm working with. Scalar energy is consciousness. It's the omnipresence of God. And it's so far superior to that of electricity and magnetism. It's just, there's no comparison.
I want to give I'm not necessarily jonesing to ask a question just yet, but my knowledge of Nikola Tesla is he was working on electricity at the same time Thomas Edison was, right? He was working on a different version of it.
Yeah.
So I want to call out the first place that we can be skeptics. Why did Thomas Edison get all the credit for creating the electricity and for putting it into the world, and hardly anybody knows about Nikola Tesla? We don't have to answer the question, but it's for my listeners to say, we know one thing to be true because it got told to us and it got taught to us, and there's the something else that's out here that we don't know much about, because it either got obscured by society or it got pushed away. I know that Tesla has often been referred to as sort of the most, not disrespected, but unrecognized inventor of time. Yes. As a point of reference, did he not have the pre-concept of the cellular tower back in the 1700s? Didn't he have a model of something that could project information or waves of something out to the mass communities?
wireless transmission tower in Colorado Springs. And if you look closely at that photograph of this wireless tower, there's no wires. And it's at what, an elevation of 6,000 feet. So you have to ask yourself, why would somebody build an energy tower far removed from power lines in the Colorado Rocky Mountains? Because Tesla did not have to rely upon a power station. The stars were the power station. So circling back to your earlier comment, well, why would that not be of merit? What did Tesla discover? Wireless transmission of energy, extracting energy, free energy from the stars. Why isn't that in use today? Because Tesla's technology is a threat to the military-industrial complex. Free energy is a threat to current-day technology.
And I want to jump in here. My brain thinks about movies and TV shows and things that we've been presented. In 1966, Gene Roddenberry had this amazing show called Star Trek. And the soliloquy at the very beginning by William Shatner is almost everybody knows it, even if they're not a Trekkie. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise and its five-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and civilization, and to go where no man has gone before. And what I want to say real quick is, first of all, you're a vanguard. I had to look that up, but a vanguard is a group of people leading the way and developing new ideas. It's also used to describe the forwardmost part of an army as it's advancing into a civilization. So on this show with The Shift, what we realize is that it takes courage to step into the new and the unknown. And it takes courageous choice to continue to advocate for something that people want to push aside, hold down, hold back, or keep in secrecy so that they either have it for themselves or so that people can't learn for it. I just want to say thank you for you, and then I'm going to turn it back to you and Trish. Just thank you for having the confidence and the courage to see something that the world needs and be able to do the research on it to start bringing it into the foremost of our minds. That is the only way we can create a perspective shift, is if we get curious about something and we lead others into it.
Thank you.
Trish?
I really want to start to talk about how you're harnessing this energy for healing on a quantum level, and if you can explain some of that to us.
Okay. Scalar energy, the energy of the stars. Now, this is a perfect information system. It is capable of millions of functions. It's responsible for the instructions of the universe. What I've discovered, and the way I've calibrated some of my instruments, I can create a molecular bond or break apart a molecular bond. Scalar energy allows me to have consummate control over atomic and molecular bonds. Meaning what? Scalar energy is really the life force responsible for atomic and molecular forms. Scalar energy allows mastery over physical nature. I mean every word of that. So with my instrument, I can create, if you will, an antioxidant or a vitamin or an amino acid. Or in reverse, by reversing the polarity, I can break down the bonds of a toxin or a virus or a fungus. Now, these are the, if you will, the early model instruments that I've created. And I had a great deal of help from my predecessor, a man by the name of Galen Hieronymus. But this is a proven method, a method in which we could help millions, billions of people around the world if they finally could isolate and identify this as being indeed a health modality, some type of quantum modality to their benefit. So what am I getting at? Scalar energy instruments can assemble nutrients, or in reverse, we can disassemble, transmute, break apart toxins and pathogens. We do all of that by way of energy. Mm-hmm. And it's painless because we're breaking down the molecular bonds of what is harmful, or we are creating the molecular bonds of what is beneficial, nutrients. All of that is done through an information system. It's so simple, It's simple on account of the fact that it's fundamental. When you have a primal force in nature, then the approach is always simple because you control nature. I control this primal force scalar energy. Hence, my approach is rather patent, rather straightforward and simple.
You, when you were explaining to Trish and I a little bit prior to the show, we were asking, like, this is so far above my, you know, I'm a college graduate, I've had science classes, and my head just feels like it's exploding. So you talked about how this scalar light is to humans as photosynthesis might be to plants. So can you make that comparison and bring it back down a little bit for our listeners? I get what you're trying to do. But to me, it also sounds like it's very similar to how people believe that they can put prayer into the world and ask for healing. It sounds to me like it's very similar to that standard practice. Is that true?
Correct. I believe prayer is a form of scalar energy. When we pray or have a positive thought, that is a scalar wave. That is this broadcast of scalar light. And then going back to your initial comment, my predecessor, a man by the name of Galen Hieronymus, took a scalar energy instrument and he collected star energy, sun energy, and he channeled from the top of his roof of his house. He channeled that energy by way of a copper wire into his basement. And in his basement, in a dark basement without any light, he grew plants in the dark by way of this scalar energy instrument that would channel scalar energy by way of a copper wire into his potted plants, proving that scalar energy is really the life force behind all plant life and responsible for photosynthesis. So what the current modern model, if you will, the model for photosynthesis only considers electromagnetic energy, which is a subset of photosynthesis. The real prime mover behind photosynthesis is scalar energy, and electromagnetic energy is a derivative and in part responsible for photosynthesis. But by that experiment, I believe he's proven that scalar energy is really the prime mover, is the primary influence for photosynthesis, whereas electromagnetic energy has a secondary effect.
Wow. So what I'm hearing is, so normal science tells us that a plant has to have sunlight in order for it to grow. It gives it food. But by putting a plant in the dark, theoretically, the plant would die because it's not exposed to the direct sunlight. But Hieronymus basically captured sunlight, scalar energy, translated it or transmuted it through a copper wire, very much like our cell phone or like our electrical outlets in our house, and the plants grew. Am I getting that right?
Exactly.
Wow.
And the plants were rather robust. So, you know, that really begs the question, how's that possible? Mm-hmm. So there's one drawback with modern day science, and I don't mean this to in any way besmirch anybody's reputation. Modern day science only considers one energy spectrum, electricity and magnetism. There's two energies. And many of the anomalies in the universe that cannot be explained can only be explained by way of scalar energy. So in other words, whatever event you see in outer space, it's either an electromagnetic cause or a scalar energy cause. You can boil it down to those two energies. And the problem we have with so many scientists today, that they only isolate on electromagnetic energy, so they only get half the equation. This is Einstein's one of his biggest faults. He was trying to understand the work of Nikola Tesla exclusively through the prism of electromagnetic energy. You can't do that. There's two energies.
Okay. I want to back up a little bit and maybe kind of bridge that or some stepping stones from what we're talking about. Because for me, I'm trying to wrap my head around it too. And even I work with Universal Life Force Energy as a Reiki master. So maybe I want to try to bridge that comparison of that energy that travels across time and space, and then harnessing it that in that through an instrument or in that channel. I guess I want to understand how or why the instrument, where that comes into play versus with the healing energy, like you said, this energy is the same as prayer. So yes. Yeah, like kind of walk us through that.
I want everybody watching this podcast to realize you control scalar energy. We are composed of scalar energy. So you're made in that image of God. Scalar energy is divine energy. You're made in God's divine light, in his divine image. And a great example of that is the heart, the human heart, which broadcasts scalar energy, your emotions, your love, your mercy, your compassion, and your mind, your brain. Your mind is a great example of a scalar energy vessel, instrument that broadcasts scalar energy. Meaning what? I believe all emotion, all creativity, all thinking is governed by scalar light. Why would I say that? Scalar light serves as the instructions of the universe, the intelligence. Well, with emotion, that's some type of intelligence. With thinking, that's some type of intelligence. So going back to my earlier statement, scalar energy is massless. It's omnipresence. So when we think at the speed of thought because we're not bound by mass. So we're working with the perfect information system. Scalar energy is perfect information. And our emotions and our thoughts tie into interface with that perfect information system.
Okay.
I like the fact that I can understand an information system, mm-hmm. right? Words are an information system, but we have a lot of thoughts and feelings that are not, they're not tangible. When I get angry, it becomes tangible for other people because my voice gets louder or I use harsh words or I direct it more focused. But I guess what I'm feeling right now, and tell me if I'm on the right or wrong track here, is that thoughts I'm having, you're unaware of them. Feelings I'm having, you're unaware of. But when I use my brain, my mouth, and my voice, that is a communication system. You get the full benefit of whatever has been building up in my mind when I direct that energy through a communication system and it has a receiver. Is that right? The receiver is the person who's hearing my language.
Right, right.
So you're basically saying you have the knowledge with your research, you have the knowledge. You have built an instrument to be the conduit, to be the wire, and you are now working with clients to be the receiver. Is that an adequate parallel?
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. My instrument works as, say, a transmitter, and people and animals are the receivers. Now, before we go any further, I want to show the audience just how unique my approach is. Remember, this is massless. I'm only working with intelligence. So when I work with people, I only work with their photographic force field. This is my photograph. People email me photographs of their family members or their pets, and I place their photograph inside my instrument. My instrument works through the force field and sends energy by way of those force fields. Now, if you remember when you referred to Star Trek, many times they spoke of force fields, or they could scan somebody for their energetic pattern or their disease pattern. That's what we're working with. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect information system that you saw in Star Trek. That perfect information system is with us today. It's scalar energy.
And we're just now starting to understand how to use it. You know, you have a quote, maybe you can pull it up, but Nikola Tesla talked about the theories of science they often become irrelevant or they die out. Can you speak to that real quick before we go to our break in a minute or two?
A couple of things. Nikola Tesla said once scientific world would grasp massless science, non-physical science, we would make great progress. And Tesla also said that many people of his day did not understand his work because it was so advanced and that they were really stuck in a certain model. And one of those models was just accepting electricity as the final frontier. No, it's not.
Yeah, and for people right now that are thinking to themselves, man, this just sounds way out of the world, right? You know, when I was a kid, I watched The Jetsons. It was a cartoon about flying cars and robots that were talking and robots that did chores around the house. We are here, people. Yeah. We have AI guiding our life. We have robotics. We have flying cars. So for anybody who wants to tune out right now and say, wow, this is way too far advanced, I can't handle this, remember that you're watching us on a computer. That didn't exist before. You have 5G internet. That didn't exist. We have a computer that fits in the palm of your hand. That did not exist. And these things would not come to us if we didn't have leaders and visionaries and people who said, what if and why not something could be different?
Yeah,
we're gonna take a break. And then we're going to come right back in. Trish, do you have a last question before we go to break?
I was just going to say, like, to your point, we didn't have, you know, computers at one time or internet. You know, Reiki has become more prevalent, that we're talking about the same energy. It's just using it in a different way and more channeled way. Like you broke that down so beautifully for us to be able to understand it on a more simple level. So, yeah, so we'll be back after a short break and we'll continue this conversation.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Welcome back to the Shift Podcast. I'm your co-host, Diane McClay, with Trish Campbell. And our guest today is Tom Palladino, and we're talking about scalar light energy. And if you're just joining us, we were just setting the table. We were just setting the conversation for how is scalar light energy, which sounds so vastly different than what we've ever heard of before, how is it really actually similar to things we're already using in our lives? Trish is a master Reiki healer. She's compared scalar light energy to the energy she uses in Reiki healing. I've compared it to prayer. Tom, you had a couple other good examples that we might use in everyday language that could draw a picture for people. What would those be?
Yeah, I would say that intuition is a scalar energy function. Anytime you have a hunch, some people have the gift of prophecy or clairvoyance. I often say people have a scalar energy download or this presence of scalar energy in their mind, which are instructions. Now, take, for instance, some people are just natural. They can learn a language naturally, or they're great at some type of athletic sport. I often quote that Mozart was able to compose at age 5. How do you do that at age 5? He had the gift of music. And how is that intelligence parted? Intelligence is scalar intelligence. Everybody who has a mind, a brain, is using scalar intelligence, scalar waves, to think, to survive. I frequently say our heartbeat, the circadian rhythm. What gives the heart the information to beat? It has to be some type of information system. It's scalar energy. Scalar energy imparts its instructions everywhere. It's the energy of the cosmos, the intelligence of the cosmos. So this is really what I'm trying to drive at. This is what Tessa said so frequently. Once science attends to non-physical events, non-physical science will make so much progress because the intelligence always precedes the physical construct. So you have to have intelligence instructions first, then you have the result of some type of chemical reaction or some type of physical manifestation.
Well, I'm sorry, Trish, can I just tag on that real quick?
Yeah.
Like break that down into real science. A scientist says, what if? So that the intelligent question is already preceding the outcome of whatever research they're doing. Okay. What happens if I do this and what happens if I don't? What do I see? What can I measure? What can I observe? What can I repeat? And so I had never thought of the intelligence coming before the physical construct. And that for me actually helps me open my heart a little bit more and be less skeptical of a lot of things, because we all have thoughts about things. I have a friend who will meet somebody for the first time and they'll say, I don't like that person. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, why? And they'll say, don't know, can't tell you. And sure shooting, 6 months later, if I get into a conversation with somebody and then something happens where I kind of get screwed on the back end or something, you know, my friend will say, I told you so.
Yeah.
Right. So then not somebody had scalar knowledge of how that other person was going to interact with me. I didn't believe it until I had evidence. And usually my evidence is when I end up with holding the bag or getting the short end of the stick. Right. Yeah. So that has just created this opening in my mind that this intelligence comes before we have the physical construct to prove it or define it. So
yeah,
thank you. It
reminds me of, I want to kind of draw another parallel to that of like the natural intelligence of all things. I mean, is it not that, Tom? Like, I think of the Marianne Williamson has a quote, like the acorn doesn't need to be told how to become the mighty oak or something like that. Like the natural intelligence of all living things, it just becomes, it just is. And so it doesn't need to be told to do this, this, and this.
Exactly. And that has to come from something. It has to be a divine intelligence that gives instructions to everything. Otherwise, the universe would fall apart. There would be no order. So what am I getting at? If all of the stars are propagating that scalar energy, so to speak, which are scalar instructions, then you see how the universe is blanketed with scalar instructions. This is it, people. This is what we call the coup de grace of science. This is it. It all starts with instructions. Mm-hmm. Everything else is really inferior to scalar energy. All sciences owe their actual science, actual body of knowledge to scalar energy or scalar intelligence.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things we do here is try to frame up or take our listeners from something maybe they've never considered before, like we open the show with, and then to a point of, okay, now let's consider this. And I know you've studied this for 25 years, so you must have come across people who are skeptical and you know, beyond that. So how else can we frame this or explain this or talk to it in a way that will, you know, maybe we've touched some people already and now they get it, but there's always more to, you know, for us to grasp it.
Sure. Sure. There is skepticism, but I would say this, do your homework and not only look at my research, but look at Tesla and a few other scalar energy researchers. And they have proven there are photographs, there are test results as to their efficacy of their experiments and of their lifetime work. This indeed is a real science, although it's poorly understood. Why? Because it's invisible. It's massless. It's a new science, but it's very real.
Well, and coming back to the prayer thing, people who believe in prayer don't have to have evidence mm-hmm. that their prayer works.
Right.
My parents are strong prayer warriors, and they have a prayer circle. And I think as humans, when we think of prayer, we think, oh, well, so-and-so has cancer. I'm going to pray that the cancer goes away. Well, I don't know that prayer works exactly that way. For some people, it may. But really, prayer is about providing energy, strength, support, stamina. Maybe it's not making the cancer go away, but it's allowing other parts of the person's life to get stronger while a cancer might be eating away at the cells of the body. Mm-hmm. So people who believe in prayer don't have to have a list of laboratory results that tell them that prayer works. Right. People that believe that Reiki allows them to feel better mm-hmm. don't have to have, proof. And so I guess this is the transition I would ask our listeners to make is, this is a new technology. We don't have the evidence yet. We don't have the proof. Although, Tom, you do have some test results from some people that I wanted you to have you speak to. Mm-hmm. Because it's new, we don't have the anecdotal or laboratory-related evidence, but that doesn't mean that this isn't real, it isn't important, and it isn't valuable to open our minds up to learn about.
Yep.
Tom, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, that's a good point. So how do I prove this? Well, you only can prove scalar energy work with a scalar energy instrument. And I'm one of the few people in the world with a scalar energy instrument. What am I getting at? What if only a handful of people had computers? Then only a handful of people can prove or disprove computer theory, computer action, computer programming. So I only can prove this, if you will, by before and after results. Many people will send me, once again, their photograph. I work with people exclusively by their photograph. People will send me their photograph and they'll say, Tom, I have herpes or HIV or the Epstein-Barr virus. And I work on their photograph. I send their quantum field energy. And in so doing, the herpes virus, HIV, or Epstein-Barr virus break down. We disassemble viruses. After the scalar energy sessions, some of those people have a diagnostic test, what's known as a polymerase chain reaction test, looking for any type of genetic marker, any type of a marker, if you will, of the presence of herpes, HIV, or Epstein-Barr virus. And invariably, all of those test results are negative. There's no viral load for herpes, HIV, or Epstein-Barr. And you cannot explain that by way of Newtonian physics, because I'm working with a different science. I'm not working with Newtonian physics. I'm working with scalar physics. And frankly, there is no protocol. There is no scientific protocol, because this is a new science without any protocol. So what am I getting at? The only way you could prove this is if you feel better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a body of knowledge. There's a body of evidence that we're amassing of people who have stellar testimonies. But those testimonies are relevant to my work with their photograph, which modern day science could not explain or prove or disprove.
I was going to say, Jacob, real quick, for our watching listeners, can you go ahead and pull up the scalar light instruments, the picture of Tesla and Tesla making a light work and of Tom, and then the next series, could you just roll the scalar energy? Now, Tom, we're not going to see these photographs, so I want to read that one of the... you've received a testimonial from somebody. Hello, Tom. I'm very happy to report that after suffering for over 30 years with the herpes virus type 1 and 2, mostly 2, I just got back my PCR test results for negative for 1 and 2 in the DNA. And this was actually dated from 2017 or 2018. So these are relatively recent examples. You sent us three testimonials. They all essentially say the same thing. But the reason why I wanted our listening audience to be able to see your instrument and to be able to see your light thing is when this goes to an archive, people that need to have a visual reference will be able to do so.
Right. Thank you. And to speak to that point, that is the beginning body of evidence that we're working with. Thank you.
I was just going to say to go back to that people can't prove this, or, you know, there's no real proof unless except for feeling better. And to give our listeners another example of, you know, whether it's meditation or, you know, there was a time when you didn't have that in your life, and then suddenly you have it, and it's working for you now, or you're starting to feel better. I know with my Reiki clients, we can't explain it, and I do a lot of distance Reiki, so I get this, how this works, and that it crosses time and space, and that people will say to me, I don't know what's going on, but I can feel something happening, or I don't know why. Right. I felt the need to like release some emotion or whatever. So I believe that the energy has that natural intelligence to find where it needs to go and to do what it needs to do without being told to. It has that its own intelligence. And I will say, I know you have, you offer people a chance to, here's a way to prove it to themselves through your 15-day trial. And I've tried that myself. And I can tell you by day three or four, I was like, I don't know what's happening, but something's happening. And in a positive way, it was like, I couldn't explain it, but I was like feeling better. I felt like things were coming up. And if you've done any healing work, you know that sometimes that doesn't feel good at first, but then it comes up so that it can be released. So I feel like it was healing my physical body, my emotional body, my energetic body. And I, you know, invite our listeners to, if they're skeptical and they want to, you know, see for themselves and try your trial, they can go to scalarlight.com and sign up for that. Right, Tom?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
And then also, let's just plug, if they want more information, Tom has a Facebook page. So facebook.com/experiencescalar. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to be transparent here. When I first heard about this, my mind wanted to stay closed. This sounds ridiculous. It sounds odd. I don't understand it. But the work we do here on The Shift is to be okay with feeling those emotions when mm-hmm. they come up, but then really ask the question, well, what if? And Tom has really done a great job for me to open my mind, because I ask him the question, okay, you work with photographs and you work with pets. And my skeptical mind said, well, a pet doesn't know that you're working on them. A pet can't tell you if they feel better or if they don't. Tom, do you remember your response to me about what you said the brilliance about using pets was as a baseline?
Yeah, pets obviously have no knowledge of the sessions, and the placebo effect really does not factor in with an organism, in this case, a dog or a cat, that has no idea that they're being treated. Obviously, there is auto-suggestion with people, but dogs and cats do not realize they're being treated.
And I think that's kind of that was an interesting aha for me, because if we remove the intellectual side of the doubt, but you can take a photograph of a pet and maybe even lab test afterwards, and if you can see that something changes after they've had the scalar light, and it's not like a pet owner's whispering in their ear, like, okay, I'm going to give you scalar light energy. I hope you're okay with this. You know, this is going to be good for you. The beauty is that it's starting to give you a baseline where that human intuition to doubt mm-hmm. goes away.
Yeah. They don't get in their own way like we do as humans.
Right. they're very, actually, I don't take this as any slight. Usually animals heal faster than people.
Yeah. And I believe that. That's so, yeah. Cause I think they're closer connected to source and to the energy themselves than we are, because we have all these layers of, of stuff, of doubt, our ego, all the things, plus everything we're carrying around with us energetically. And one of the things I saw in your work is about how it works on like our chakra systems, like our meridian systems. And maybe you can, because I know there's probably listeners who know something about that. I work with that in my work. So maybe you can talk about how it works in that sense.
Sure. I believe everybody has seven chakras. They're, mm-hmm. they're scalar energy points of light. And if you look at a chakra, it spins. And scalar energy likewise spins. It's a double helix. So the animating force of our chakras are scalar energy vortices. That's what a chakra is. And that's one of the reasons why Western science, by the way, has not ever embraced mm-hmm. chakras. They've never embraced scalar energy. But with a scalar energy instrument, there's an immediate interface because you're working like with like. A scalar energy instrument will immediately attune and balance the seven chakras. It does it automatically. It's not my work as an operator. So my scalar energy instrument is very powerful. It does align the seven chakras. It does reprogram the brain waves in many ways. This is the non-physical science that Tesla spoke about so frequently. And we can access the brain waves and we can access the chakras by way of a scalar energy instrument.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions I'm thinking of now is like when you use this and you do this healing technique for people, is it something that's instantaneous or does it happen over time or how does that work?
In a scalar energy paradigm, action is always instantaneous. There is no time in the scalar energy paradigm. So everything is always in the present moment. Action is always instantaneous. However, how the people respond, the healing curve takes time, which is really the electromagnetic response, so to speak.
Okay.
But in scalar energy as an animating force is always instantaneous.
Okay. So I guess, is that like how we, is it because we're getting, like I said a few moments ago, we're getting in our own way that it takes time, or I just want to understand how that works.
Scalar energy, this massless energy, works instantaneously.
Okay.
However, we're made out of chemicals,
yeah.
flesh, and blood, and that has to respond over a course of time.
Okay.
Now, here's the point. Remember, scalar energy is far superior to that of electricity or magnetism. So every event, all action in the scalar energy paradigm is instantaneously. It's instant, as opposed to electromagnetic energy, which takes time. Chemical processes, digestion, various
okay.
mental and physical properties. It's really a factor of time with electromagnetic energy.
I want to tag in on that. So first of all, I love just the phrase, action is always instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I think about that in physical real life, it's true, right? You see a red light, your foot steps on the brake. That's action, right? There's a little delay, but as soon as we make a decision, choice is a word on my wall. What is the thing that drags us out the longest? Trying to make the decision, trying to make the right decision, trying to get the facts, trying to not make the wrong decision. But as soon as we make a decision, we are in action. We are already moving, right? So that's the first thing. Like, this is true in real life. If we functioned at our highest, here's my question. If we functioned at our highest evolved self, would we be able, so if in scalar light, action is instantaneous, if we were functioning at our highest level ourselves with our divine intuition, our divine light, our scalar light, would we be able to recognize that instant reaction as soon as scalar light creates the action?
Sure. If you're exclusively immersed in a scalar energy environment, I really believe that electromagnetic energy is our fallen nature. I believe scalar energy is the exclusive paradigm of heaven. So in other words, those who are in heaven enjoy that instantaneous action that, and it's on all-knowing, if you will, presence. And that's one of the reasons why you cannot die or age in heaven, because you're surrounded by perfect coherence, perfect light. So, you know, when you really take this to the nth degree and you extrapolate all of these reasons, Electromagnetic energy is the cause of aging, death, disease. Scalar energy is the cause. It's the steady state. There is no death, disease, decay in the scalar energy steady state.
I was just thinking that exact same thing as you're talking about this. Like, for example, living next to electrical towers is not a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and but nobody really addresses that. We're still doing it. So how can we make that shift from, you know, how can we as ourselves, as individuals, collectively make that shift and start to open up to this? Like, what can you say?
The human mind and the human heart are scalar energy vessels. Think well. Okay. Have good thoughts, good, holy, decent thoughts, and feel for people and have love in your heart. And that will change the world. You don't need a scalar energy instrument. If anything, my instrument will prove to people scientifically that the mind and the heart are scalar energy instruments, scalar energy vessels. You don't need a laboratory. You don't need a scalar energy laboratory. Everybody has a mind and a heart. And that is your access to scalar energy.
I want to say that one more time.
Yeah.
Just say it, just let it drip it out slow so everybody can hear that. The mind and the soul.
Thinking. If you ever consider a thought is the speed of it's an instantaneous action. Mm-hmm. At the speed of thought, there is no from here to there with a thought. Why? It's scalar thought. It permeates the universe. Emotion, your love, your heart, the way you feel, is an instantaneous expression. There's no time lag. So thinking and feeling are instantaneous actions. They permeate the universe. They are scalar energy actions. They're not electromagnetic actions. So everybody has a mind and a heart. Everybody has access to the scalar energy paradigm through their mind and heart.
This, yeah, it's just a different way of thinking of like connecting to who we are, to that divine light in us. That's essentially what you're saying. If we were in that state all the time, we probably wouldn't need an instrument to deliver that to us, is what you're saying.
It's perfect bliss. You're right.
Yeah, right. Well, okay.
And this morning I worked with a coach who I have some challenging family interconnectedness, as a lot of people do. And the coach this morning said to me, what if you went home to the holidays this weekend? And what if you had peace in your heart? What if you looked for the good that the people who challenge you have? And I really quickly wanted to say, oh, but I'm doing that. And the reality is the perspective is I'm not. I'm not. I'm walking in with judgment. I'm walking in with pain. I'm walking in with expectations. I'm walking in with what I think I want out of the situation. And so what's happening right now, Tom, and I got to tell you this, is literally in my diaphragm, there's this quiver, and then there's also this expansive feeling as I listen to your words that scalar energy is in the mind and it's in the heart, and we all have it. We are all vessels of scalar energy. Mm-hmm. But this quiver is almost like something's ready to expand. Mm-hmm. And I'm combining that with the challenge my coach gave me, which is, what if I walked home with complete peace in my heart? That's scalar light. That's scalar energy, is it not?
Very much so. Yeah.
So somehow we have managed to go through an hour and we could talk for three more hours, Tom. Okay. We'd love to have you back on the show.
Yeah,
please.
You're going to be on my show on December 10th at 1:30 Pacific time. We're going to get into this again. How can people get a hold of you? And we'd like to give you the last word.
Okay. The best way to learn about my work is the website, scalarlight.com, S-C-A-L-A-R, scalarlight.com. Avail yourself of a free trial. Anybody in the world can email us your photographs, and we will, for 15 days, balance your chakras and eliminate microbes. All of this is done by way of the quantum field through your photograph. I think that's the best way to introduce this to the audience. If you're new at this, do your homework, read the articles, and make yourself comfortable.
And you're also one of the influencers that are one of our founding members of the KS Media Group app. So people can connect with you there. They can connect with scalarlight.com through that as well. Thank you so much for being with us, for helping us along on this journey of learning for ourselves in real time. And we'd love to have you back again. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And as you know, the shift begins and ends with us, and it starts right now.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Podcast, where perspective and our power to change intersect. Slowing down to look at things from a different angle is necessary to affect positive change. You hold the power to transform yourself and your life. It is already inside you, and it's within reach. Clarity comes from awareness. Momentum comes from choice. Healing, growth, and transformation happen on the Shift Podcast, the first and third Fridays at 12:30 p.m. Pacific. For more information, go to invibe.ca or dianemclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.